So the topic we chose for tonight is why do we get sick, and where does sickness and diseases originate from? And a lot of people get upset at Hashem that people get sick and they suffer. ברוך אתה אדוני אלוהינו מלך העולם שהכל נהיה בדברו. So a lot of people get upset at Hashem when they get sick, when their loved ones get sick. Why do people need to suffer? It's not fair. And if Hashem is such a good God, why do we get sick? And Bechal, we need to understand, where does it come from? Because everything in this world, everything in the physical realm, it originates in the spiritual realm. Nothing exists in the physical realm without having a source in the spiritual realm. And if you know the source of the problem, then A, you know how to cure it, if you already have the problem. If you don't have the problem, you know how to prevent it. And more than that, you can understand it. So you're not going to have any questions or any complaints to Hashem, why am I sick? Now, in general, there are three reasons why we get sick. And when I talk about sickness and diseases, I'm not talking about a running nose or a headache. A running nose or a headache, that's a problem from the environment. Although everything comes from the spiritual realm, so even a headache and even a running nose and a cough, it also comes from a spiritual place. But I don't consider this a sickness, this I just consider something minor. We spoke about a couple of lessons ago about why do we have to suffer and why do we suffer from hardship in this world. And we talked about how sometimes a person does a sin or does something bad, and as a result, the reaction of the avera, of the sin, is that he goes through some type of yesurim, some type of hardship, of suffering. So sometimes a headache can be this yesurim, sometimes a running nose or a cough or whatever can be this little yesurim. But in general, there are three reasons why one can get sick. And I'm talking about more severe sicknesses, deadly sicknesses, sicknesses that one is, chas v'shalom, have to go through operations, and more severe things, and of course, the deadly sicknesses that nobody wants anyone to have. The three main reasons are, the first one is our behavior in this world, in the physical realm. Things that we do in the physical realm can create a sickness. The second reason is things that originate from a spiritual problem that can bring down a sickness. And the third reason is that it comes from Shamayim. It comes from the heaven decree. And that type of sickness, doesn't matter what you're going to do, nothing's going to help. And we talked about it in a previous class, that when a person's time to leave the world, whatever was decided for that neshama to live in this world, that's the days that that person will have in this world. The neshama, before it comes down to the world, the soul, before it comes into this body, they're already telling her when she's going to leave the world. So the day of the death is already decided. There are circumstances that it's changed. It can be earlier, chas v'shalom, if a person does a lot of sins. And chas v'shalom, it can be from other reasons. And it can be also that a person will gain some more time from good deeds. This is usually not so common. But when a person's time to leave this world, Hashem will find the way for that neshama to leave this world. And sometimes it depends on our acts in this world. Sometimes it depends on an act from a previous reincarnation. Sometimes it depends on many different aspects. But if the day of that person to die is already decreed from Shamayim, if the decree from Shamayim is that the way that person would leave the world is by a disease, doesn't matter what's going to happen, that's the disease that's going to happen. And the reason why it happens, because either it will need to cleanse that person with the suffering that that person goes through, or that disease comes to fix a problem in the nefesh, a blemish in the nefesh, or in the body that needs to be fixed before the person leaves. So I'm just going to talk a little bit about that because it's less important and less shayach to us to know how to relate to. But the most important ones are the ones that we can create with our physical acts, and the other one is what we can create with our spiritual acts. So the physical acts is very, very simple. We got a body, as a rental. Hashem leased us the body for 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, whatever the body is given to us. The body is not us, it's not ours, and the body is a machine. And the same way that you have a machine, you have a car, you have whatever type of machine you have, it comes with what's called Horaot Yatsran, with the manufacturer, the rules, what the manufacturer tells you. If you're not going to follow the rules, the machine will break. If you're not going to take a car and you're going to put milk instead of petrol, then the car will break down. If you're going to put instead of oil, you're going to put water, the car will break down. It's very simple. Same thing with our body. Our body is a machine. This machine is given to us to serve our neshama. The neshama came down to this world with a whole list of things it needs to do. And the body was given to us as a mashkon. As I'm giving you now, I'm renting you the body. You go now and rent a car, they make you sign 50 pages for every little scratch that you got the car with. And if you bring the car back with a scratch, ooh, they take money from your deposit. If you come with a dent, with an accident, they want you to get insurance. Why? Because it's not your car. And the owner of the car wants to get his car in the exact same way he gave it to you. So our body was given to us as a present. It's more than a present, it's a mashkon. A mashkon means that I'm liable for it. I have to give it back the same way. That's why there's so many rules regarding our keeping of our body. And with this body that we got as a rental, we got a guide. How to take care of it. And we see it right from the beginning when Hashem created Adam and Chava. He put them in Gan Eden. And what's the first thing that God tells Adam and Chava? Mikol asher bagan asher tuchlu. Everything that you see in this garden, you eat. And he's telling me, you're going to eat from the trees. He didn't tell Adam and Chava to eat animals. He didn't tell them to eat anything. He told them, you see the trees? That's what you eat. We see in the Torah, in many different places, and even more places in the oral Torah, that we have explicit information how to take care of our body. Now the thing is that most people, they don't take care of the body. So half the sicknesses that come to us is because I don't take care of my own body. And it starts with the right nutrition. It starts with what I put into my body. It starts with how I take care of my body. Doesn't matter how you look at it. It's enough. You need to get enough sleep. You need to get enough rest. You need to work out. You need to have the right nutrition. Now, I don't want to make this class about nutrition, but I see a great connection between nutrition and spirituality. Because what I put in my body affects my body. What I put in my body in the spiritual level affects my neshama. It's very, very simple. The American says, you are what you eat. You're going to eat junk food all day long, you'll get sick. It's very simple. It's a very simple equation. Now, the thing is that it says in many places in the Torah, and especially in the oral Torah, the one who talked about it the most is the famous Maimonides Rambam, who gave a detailed list how we have to preserve the body, what we need to give to the body, what we're not allowed to put into our body. And it might sound to you very not spiritual or very not Torah related, but the way we treat our body is a halakha. It's a law. It actually says in halakha that you're not allowed to damage your body in many different ways. And it's actually a halakha. Halakha is an oral law that if a person damages their body in any way, if that person will become sick as a result, he will have to give judgment on that. This is halakha. The halakha teaches us that if I don't treat my body right, and if I'm going to get sick because of that, and I'm not going to be able to serve Hashem, when I come up to Shamayim after 120 years, I'm going to have to give din v'cheshbon why I did that. We see in many different places that the Torah tells us you're not allowed to tattoo your body. It's not your body. Don't spray graffiti on the wall that doesn't belong to you. You're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to do that. It says one of the 613 mitzvot is the Torah telling us specifically, Ushmartem lenafshotechem meod. You have to guard your body. Everything you have to do, you have to guard your body. You're not allowed to damage the body. So it might not look like a spiritual thing, but my diets and my sports and whatever I do to keep, to maintain my body, that's a mitzvah. And when I don't do that, I'm transgressing a mitzvah from the Torah. And the Torah tells us very, very clear a whole menu of diet, what we're allowed to eat and what we're not allowed to eat. The laws of kosher, in one way you might want to say, you know, there's not much of logic in kosher. And we see a connection in this week's Parsha. It's talking about the red heifer. And Shlomo Melech, the wisest man in history, said that Chakarti, and I toiled and I investigated and I looked and I learned and I couldn't figure out the reason for red heifer. Why does the ashes of the red heifer makes a person that is impure for impurity of death, which is the worst impurity, why does the ashes make him pure? So the Torah explains to us that there are three types of mitzvot. All the mitzvot are broken down into three categories: Mishpatim, Chukim, Ve'edut. Mishpatim is laws. Lo tignov, don't steal. Don't kill. Don't commit adultery. All the laws that are simple to understand, they're laws, Mishpatim. And one would do them even if the Torah wouldn't tell them. A normal person would not steal or would not kill, whether the Torah says it or not. And half of them, a third of the mitzvot are under the category of Mishpatim. The next category of mitzvot are what's called Edut. This is testimony. The holiday of Pesach, it's a testimony that we went out of Mitzrayim. The holiday of Purim, it's a testimony that of the miracle that happened in Paras. The holiday of Chanukah, it's a testimony for the miracle that happened at the time of the Evanim. Shabbat is a testimony for the creation of the world. We have a lot of mitzvot that are a testimony for something that happened in the past. And then the third category are called chukim. Chok is something that is not so rational. And these mitzvahs are things that don't make sense. Red heifer, mikveh, kosher, purity. All those things that I can't understand in my mind why a bath of water will make me pure. I do not understand why I can't mix meat and dairy. I do not understand why eating this animal is okay and this animal is not okay. I do not understand it and I will never understand it. Why? It's beyond what my mind can understand. These are what's called chukim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Chukah chakakti gzera gazarti ve'en alecha reshut lishol aleha. I made a decree, you have no right to ask. This is how it is. So for example, kosher, this falls under chukim. Now one can come and, you know, litpalpel and to find all sorts of explanations and find physically why kosher is important. Yeah, if you ask any nutritionist, and they'll tell you that if you mix the meat and the dairy, then the stomach doesn't know what to digest, if to digest the meat or to digest the dairy, because digesting meat takes 6 hours, digesting dairy takes an hour. The stomach gets confused, and instead of digesting altogether, it just digests one thing and the rest becomes toxins. And very simple, you can explain it.
What is this explanation?
What I just said? Yeah. That's what I say. This is what Refuah says. If you look in medicine, they tell you that's what called mitzei keva. I don't know how you call it in English, the juices of your digestion. And there's different type of juices to different types of food. And meat is a very heavy type of food. It takes a long time and a different type of mitzei keva to digest. Yeah? So I'm not a doctor, but this is common sense. And with kosher, you can see many different things. Okay, I understand why not to eat katzim. You know, it's a dirty animal. Certain animals, they have a lot of fat. I can somehow find an explanation about kosher. But the reality is that we don't understand the concept of kosher. But in the menu of kosher, basically Hashem is telling us, this is what you're allowed to eat because it's good for your machine. And this is what you're not allowed to eat because it's not good for your machine. And if you eat this, your machine will break down. It's very simple. Very, very simple. So, again, it doesn't seem so spiritual, but my diet is spiritual. Because if I'm eating something that will damage my body, then I'm going against the Torah. And the reality is that with the food that we eat in our day, if you look at any, if you point your finger on any food, you'll see that it's poison. It's literally poison. There's no questions about it. Half the food that we eat is processed, full of MSG, chemicals, all sorts of genetically modified food. If you really look at your food, you'll see that you're eating garbage. You know, I see now my kids, they go in the Bet Knesset, in the shul, to a Shabbat party. You know, I go and see what they give them as treats. I get horrified. They give them like these gummies, like rubber bands. Why are you giving my kid a rubber band? You know, this is pure, pure junk. Why would I give myself or my kid anything but something healthy? So again, if you look at it in a very physical way, you're saying, okay, I don't see any connection to Avodat Hashem here. But if you're connecting that your body is your tool to serve Hashem, what I put into my body is a mitzvah. And I have to look at my food, what I'm doing. And it says again in many different places in the Torah that we have to look at our nutrition. And you can see that in our day of age, most of the diseases people have is because of nutrition. It's because of what they eat. And when you don't take care of the nutrition and you eat just processed food and fats and sugars and white flour and everything that everybody tells you that it's good, the person is basically killing himself. Now what happens is then the person falls to become sick. And who does he blame? Hashem, why are you making me sick? What do you mean, why are you making me sick? Go and eat garbage, you'll become sick. It's very, very simple. It's very simple. So by our physical acts, we can see that we do control our health. But since we want to hear more interesting things about mystical things and the spiritual part, so the explanation is very, very simple. It's a little bit more deeper, but I'm going to try to keep it on the surface. In our body, we have a couple of spiritual entities. Our soul is built from five levels. The highest level of the soul is called Yechida. A lower level from that is called Chaya. These are two spiritual levels that have nothing to do with our body. They don't even come to this world. Maybe if we're worthy, we reach to that level at the time when we come to Olam Haba. It has nothing to do with us. Then we have three lower levels: Neshama, Ruach, and Nefesh. The neshama is the peace, the godly peace that is part of Hashem. This piece of this neshama, only a little piece of it comes into the body. It's so spiritual and so holy, it cannot penetrate in the body, that it only penetrates a little bit into the body. Then we have a low level that is called Ruach. Ruach is the spirit that enlivens the body. And then we have Nefesh. Nefesh is the spiritual entity that goes into our body and enlivens the body. If you ask a doctor, the first 40 days after a woman gets pregnant, the first 40 days, it's an egg. There's nothing there. There's, if I'm not mistaken, six cells, and they don't change, they don't multiply.
I think it's eight.
Eight? I'm not 100% sure.
Two, one and two and then four and then...
Exactly.
They multiply.
Exactly. But in the first 40 days, there's nothing there. That's why, according to halakha, if a woman has an abortion, a natural abortion, of course, in the first 40 days, then in regards to pidyon haben and many other things, there's nothing, because there was nothing there. First 40 days, that's why you can still pray to change the child's sex, to be a girl or a boy, because there's still nothing there. After 40 days, and there's a reason why 40 days, then the nefesh penetrates into the embryo, and then starts the development. 9 months it takes for all the pieces of the soul to come in and create the body. Now, what is the nefesh? If you now take a mold, you want to create something, a silver cup or something. You need a mold. Everything you want to create in this world is a tavnit. I think it's called mold. Mold. Like a mold. In Hebrew you call it tavnit. If you want to make a shape, you need a tavnit, a mold. We see that in the spiritual worlds, we know of four spiritual worlds. Atzilut, Bria, Yetzirah, Asiyah. Atzilut is the world of emanary, illuminary, there's nothing there. But the first world, spiritual world, is called Bria, because that's where everything is created. Bria is livro, is to create. The next world is called Yetzirah. Yetzirah, a lot of people think in Hebrew that it's the world sheyotzrim, that you create something. Yetzirah, I created something. But that's the world, the Yetzirah comes from the word tzura. It's the world where things get their shape. Before that, in the spiritual world of Bria, there's no shapes. There's just a spiritual entity. But in the world of Yetzirah, it's where everything gets their shape. So in order for me to create a shape, I need some type of a mold, a tavnit. The nefesh is the tavnit, is the mold for the body. The nefesh is already holding the design, how the body will be. The nefesh is the one who has the limbs. The nefesh has all the parts of the body where the body gets dressed on it. Now, we see that the Torah tells us, how do we know where's the nefesh? The Torah hints at that it says, ha-nefesh hi-adam. The nefesh, the place where the nefesh dwells is in our blood. That's why anywhere in the body you're going to poke, blood will come out. That's the main part where it is. But the nefesh is all around the body. The nefesh is mashkon ha-nefesh is in the blood. Everywhere you have blood, then you mean that there's a nefesh chaya in it. That's why we learn that when Cain killed Hevel, if you look in the commentary, it says that he stabbed him all over his body. Why? Because he didn't know from where the nefesh will go out. Meaning that even then, he already knew the nefesh is everywhere. He just stabbed him everywhere because he didn't know from where it comes out. So our sages and Kabbalah teach us that the nefesh is all around our body in their blood. And it gives what's called the chayut to the body. That's why when a person dies, the nefesh leaves the body and it's just a piece of meat and some bones. The nefesh is what enlivens the body. Now, I spoke about it in previous shiurim, that the neshama comes into the body like a hand into a glove. And the same way you put your hand in the glove and you start moving your hand, then the puppet will start moving. That's what the neshama does. If I put now my hand in a puppet and I move this finger, then the puppet will move his hand and I go like this and I move the entire puppet. The neshama is the driver of this body. And the nefesh is the tool that is able to move the body, because the neshama is spiritual. It has nothing to do with the body. The neshama, you know, has no connection to the physical world. So if the neshama will try to push a wall, it will go through the wall because there's no physical entity for the neshama. So the neshama must need this glove to get dressed in, which is the nefesh. Now, here we see a very interesting thing. The neshama can only come into the body, but it cannot come into the fingers, and it cannot come into the toes. This is the only place in the body the neshama cannot come into. That's why we see when the Kohanim had to purify themselves, they would wash their hands and the feet. When we wake up in the morning, what do we wash? Right away, the hands. In Yom Kippur, when we're not allowed to take a shower, and in Tisha B'Av, what do? We only wash the fingers, the Kishrei Ha'etzbaot. Why? Because the neshama was not there. If the neshama would be there, there wouldn't be so much impurity. Where in a place where there's light, cannot be darkness. So then where the neshama is, it cannot be too much connection to the klipot. So where the neshama doesn't go in, which is the fingers and the toes, that's where we get most of our impurity. That's why most of the impurity goes on our nails. That's why when you cut your nails, you have to make sure you bury them. You have to make sure you burn them. Depending on where you want to hold yourself, it says that tzaddikim, they bury their nails, but chassidim, they burn the nails. But there's a lot of impurity in the nails. There's a way how we cut the nails, there's a reason why we do that, and then one needs to, you can't just, you know, cut the nails and throw them. It's a big problem. That's why women have to be very careful when they file their nails. It has to be done. I actually wanted to do a class about the nails, because all the impurity that gets attached to our body gets attached to the nails. And we look at the nails, people bite their nails, spit it on the floor, women are, you know, filing their nails. All these klipot are attached on the nails. And when a person cuts the nails, the minimum one should do is bury them. According to halacha, you can also flush them down the toilet, but the right way to do it is either to bury it, and the best way to do it is actually to burn the nails.
Well, what if we file it?
Then you have to do it over a tissue. I would do it, yeah, you put it over, best to do it over a tissue like this, and then you fold the tissue and...
Can I do it outside in like the pencil?
No.
Burning
is the best. Although with burning you have to know how to do it, because if you only burn the nails without something with it, then it can actually lazik. No, you have to...
It's a tuna can.
Yeah, but better to put with it some, like let's say a toothpick, mashu acher shegam misaref, Because according to Hasidic philosophy, if you just burn the nails, it can actually harm the body. The great Hasidim, what they used to do is what I do is I wrap it in a tissue, and then I take some toothpicks and I put it in a can, and I burn the toothpicks and the matches, and that burns the paper and the nails. That way you burn the nails and you burn some other things. There's inyanim in Kabbalah why we do it, but better not to do just the nails neto.
Maybe that's why I'm having the tikkun.
No, but you know, if you already reach to the level that you understand the level of impurity and the klipot that are on the nails, and you're doing it the right way and you burn it, then better to do it right. But the thing is, yeah, don't file your nails on the floor. It's same thing with kids. In adults, there's more of impurity, but even the kids, yeah, you want to make sure that if the kids bite their nails, you want to teach them not to bite it.
So I really need to vacuum my house really well.
Yes. You know, it says, this is already brought down in halakha, that if chas v'shalom, a nail falls on the floor, and a pregnant woman steps on the nail, she can lose her baby. So there's once somebody mailed me an email of a funny movie of somebody walking in the street and he cut a nail and the nail went flying and they made a joke. But you see all the street on the floor with the magnifying glasses and with lights and looking for the nail.
Is it true so, that the human body was only made from nails?
Yeah, it was covered from nails. Yeah, that's why when we... Yeah. Adam HaRishon was covered with nails. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because in the beginning, Adam HaRishon was a very spiritual being, and when he brought down sin to the world and he fell from his level, his body became physical. So right away, it says, "Va'al b'shem kut not or," Hashem right away dressed him with the skin and flesh, and the only thing that remained is the nails. That's one of the many reasons why in Havdalah we look at the nails when we put the nails at the fire. It wasn't about protecting the body, rather it was a vessel to hold the godly light. That's why the powers of impurity, they go to the nails. Because the nails, for whatever spiritual reason, has the ability, in Kabbalah it's called the kli. This is the kli, the vessel to hold the light. That's why Adam HaRishon was kulo or, he was just light. It says that Adam HaRishon shined so much that he made the sun look dim. And when he brought down sin to the world, unafal mimadregato, he fell down in his level, so right away his body became physical. Because in the beginning, Adam HaRishon was not a man like we think he was. So the only thing that remained from that is the fingers. That's why there's many reasons why impurity grabs the nails, why right away in the morning we wash our hands. But I don't want to sidetrack too much from our topic, but going back to what I said, the neshama does not enter the fingers and does not enter the toes. And that's why we have to be careful in many different ways why our hands are constantly pure. So the reason why I'm telling all that is that the neshama has special spiritual powers. And the same way that our soul has spiritual limbs, each spiritual limb of the soul corresponds to a physical limb in our body. Now what happens is that each piece of my body, my heart, my eyes, my brain, my lungs, they have the nefesh that enlivens that part. So the nefesh is one spiritual entity, but built from 248 pieces. That's why I said before that the embryo, first 40 days is nothing. Then the nefesh comes into the embryo, then it starts developing the organs and the limbs.
Isn't it the 40 days that the spirit chooses the body? And the...
Exactly. The first 40 days is just what's called the spiritual in Shamayim, where they're preparing the ground, they're preparing the body, and after 40 days the nefesh comes down into to the body. The neshama doesn't go into the body. It's mainly chosen in the heavenly court. The neshama also choose where it's going to go. They make a whole meeting. No, there's a meeting. In essence, what they say is that they bring the neshama, if we're already sidetracked, I'll give you a little bit about that. Once the woman gets pregnant and the drop from the man goes into the woman, Hashem calls a certain angel and he goes and he tells him, bring me a ruach, bring me from the bank of spirits, call me a ruach. And they bring the ruach that's going to be belonging to this body. And then they start asking questions, who's going to be this person? Is going to be rich? Is going to be beautiful? Everything is already decided in Shamayim. Who it's going to be, where it's going to be, what's the name going to be, everything is already decided till the end of day. And the neshama is being consulted, where does she want to go? Because the neshama has to come to do a certain tikkun. That's what we're going to talk about next week in the lesson of reincarnations. In most of the times, the neshama is begging not to come down. She says, I'm fine here, leave me alone. I don't want to go down. When they ask the neshama, why don't you want to go down? So she says, Shema Echta, I don't want to sin. I know if I'm going to be back in a body, I'll sin. I don't want to sin.
So,
not all of them. Sometimes there's a sometimes the neshama comes back in a reincarnation, not because it sinned in a previous life, because it didn't complete its complete cycle in the previous life. But I don't. Excuse me.
That's
not rare at all, because the Arizal explains in Shaar HaGilgulim that we have to come down to this world to do all 613 mitzvot in thought, speech, and action. If you do it in one cycle, you're good to go. Most of us don't do it in one cycle, so we have to come back. But it doesn't mean because we sin. It means that we're missing part of the 613 mitzvot, and it's kindness from Hashem that go down and do it again. If you're already carrying sins from a previous reincarnation, that's
yeah.
Then you then come next week to the class and you'll get all the information. I really don't want to sidetrack too much.
We're women, we don't have to do 613, right? You have to come back as a man to finish.
First of all, you are half a soul and your husband is the other half. So if your husband has to do 613, you have to support him by doing the 613.
But some people don't get married.
That's rare. That's a rare thing. And there's a reason why they don't get married, but I really don't want to sidetrack. I want to. Let's do like this. Let me finish the topic. Let me finish the topic of tonight, and then we'll do some questions and answers. And we're not going to do it too long because some of us has to wake up very early. And every time we say we're going to finish early, and it goes late. But let me finish the topic for tonight. So next week we're going to talk all about reincarnations, which you're not going to get all your answers because it's such a deep concept. But in essence, the Arizal says, just to sum it up, he says it in the book of Shaar HaGilgulim, the gate of reincarnations, one has to come down to this world at least three times to do all 613 mitzvot in thought, speech, and action. And even if you're a woman and you don't have to put tefillin on, it doesn't mean you don't have to do the mitzvah in your thought and in your speech. And you can do it in your action by donating money for a man to buy tefillin, or helping your husband with your money to buy tefillin. You are participating in the mitzvah. And if your husband does mitzvah that you don't have to do, you get the zchut of it. So when I do all the mitzvah that my wife is exempt from, she gets it by default by her allowing me to do it. So by her allowing me to go and pray in the morning and not telling me, you put the kids on the bus, then she gains the mitzvah of tzitzit and tefillin shel rosh and kirat shema bazman, etc., etc. She allows me, because some women says, no, you're not going now to a shiur. You're staying right here and you're putting the kids to sleep. And so forth. So a woman can participate in all the mitzvot in many different ways, especially in thought, in action. She can participate with money and donating. We talked about it in the previous class. Even in learning Torah, you can support people who learn Torah. In anything, a woman can tap in to the mitzvah. But that will be we'll talk about more in length next week. The reincarnation is not always because of a sin. Sometimes the reincarnation is because the soul didn't complete its cycle. And sometimes the reincarnation can be because the soul is missing one mitzvah. Because maybe it couldn't. Maybe it did one sin. It didn't get to do tshuva. We don't know. We're going to talk about it in length next week. Bezrat Hashem, you're not going to miss the shiur. But going back to what I said, and we're talking about health, is that whatever gives us chayut, life into our body, is our neshama that gets rest into our nefesh. Our nefesh, even though it's a spiritual being, it's built from 248 components. And I have a nefesh, a piece of the nefesh gets dressed in the kli, or the tool of the eyes, and in that nefesh there's the koach ha-reiyah, the power of seeing. And in the in my brain, a piece of the nefesh gets bred, and there there's the koach of machshava. And each tool, each organ, it has a piece, a devoted piece that belongs to the nefesh that enlivens it. Now, you gotta kind of picture that in order for the neshama to get into the body and to maneuver it, the language of Kabbalah that it uses the concept that is called or, light. The neshama deals with the body with light, with godly lights, different lights. And the neshama, in order, imagine like this big crane that moves thousands of tons of bricks, and in this little compartment in the bottom sits a man, and he goes like this, and he moves all sorts of sticks, and this huge crane moves. This is exactly what the neshama does. It gives orders. But in order for the neshama to get dressed into the nefesh, the vessels, these kelim, have to be clean. Because if there's a kli, there's a concept in Kabbalah, everything in Kabbalah is explained that there's always a kli, a vessel, and there's always a light. Oh, and the light has to go into the kli in order to manifestate something spiritual into the physical world. Now, if all my pieces of my nefesh are 100% good, then I have no problem. All my organs are working perfectly. Now, what happens when I miss one mitzvah? I damage my spiritual vessel in my soul. Then what happens is, the vessel is broken. In a broken vessel, kli shabur, or lo yachol lishrot, the light cannot dwell in it. The light of the neshama goes out. And then the organ doesn't get its life. Then the organ becomes weak. Now imagine, just to make it kind of to draw it, imagine like an octopus with many, many hands. And each hand can do something else. The neshama has these spiritual channels, and it gets dressed in each one of these organs. Now, in order for the neshama to get dressed, to dwell this godly light, it needs a vessel. If the vessel is broken, then there's no light. So when I'm missing a mitzvah, what I basically do is I damage the kli, the vessel, that the light of the neshama can dwell in it. Basically, what happens is, what gives life to the organ is the soul. If the soul cannot penetrate into that organ, then the organ starts to diminish. If you look back at the original state that how Hashem created us, Adam was supposed to live forever. And what happened was that the way God created his body is that the body recreates itself constantly. It redoes itself. We see in our body that our cells, they die. Constantly our cells die and they renew themselves. Some cells, it takes them a couple of years. Some cells, it's a couple of days. But we constantly renew ourselves. The original state was that our body was supposed to live forever. But since Adam HaRishon brought sin to the world, and he brought this pgam, this defect, then the body went down from its level and it can't recreate itself. That's why our forefathers, it says that they didn't get old. It's known about Sarah Imenu that she was 100 years old, 120 years old. She looked like a 20-year-old girl. She was able to bring a baby to the world when she was 90 years old. Our forefathers did not grow old. They maintained a young body. Why? Because they were in such a high level of spirituality that their neshama was way beyond the vessel of the body. In our level, first of all, our body is so low that we all sin. And when we sin, basically our sin creates this blemish in the vessel. Now each sin, or each mitzvah, corresponds to an organ. So if I'm doing all the mitzvot, I'm not going to look younger, but I'm not going to be sick. It's very simple. The sickness comes to us from our spiritual acts. So if I'm now, if you look at our mitzvot, we have positive mitzvot and negative mitzvot. Positive, not because they're positive to do, and negative because they're negative to do. Rather, positive is an act that I'm creating, I'm doing, I'm initiating. And negative is I'm refraining, I'm stopping. I'm stopping something to penetrating. So I have to do all the positive mitzvot in order to create these vessels, to create these kelim that my neshama can dwell in. And then I have to refrain myself from all the negative mitzvot, that I'm not going to bring any impurity. Because the way things works in the spiritual level, if I remove the light, then the other side of the light comes in. The Zohar calls it Sitra Acha, the other side. So if I'm constantly injecting spiritual light, positive energy, there's no space for negativity. But if I'm now bringing, I'm moving away the godly light, I'm creating space for the other side to penetrate. Now each mitzvah corresponds to an organ. Now we don't really know which mitzvah corresponds to which organ, but if a person is sick, must be that the godly light, nistaleka'o, the light was removed from the organ, and now the organ is deteriorating. Now, our sages explain to us very, very interesting things. We know that in the Hebrew language, everything is hidden in the language. The word healthy in Hebrew is bari. What is bari? The shorosh of bari is bet resh aleph, comes from the word of bri'ah. Now if I'm healthy because I conduct my life a certain way, by right nutrition and everything that we talked about before, then what happens is I'm able to bring my body to the level of bri'ah, that I'm constantly recreating these cells, what the nefesh did when it was in the mother's womb. Now, what is chole, what is sick? Chole, sickness, illness, is machala. Comes from the word halal. Now, what is this halal? Halal is a space. If I remove a godly light from one of my vessels, then I create a space. This is the machala, is when I create a halal. A halal where godly light cannot dwell. Now, here comes another concept, is that our sages teach us that our entire body is a manifestation of the Eser Sfirot, of the Ten Sfirot. So we know that the three higher Sfirot are what's called Mochin, Chochma Bina Vedat, it's intellect. But then there's the seven Sfirot that are more physical. And the top ones are Chesed, Gvura VeTiferet, kindness, severity, and mercy. This Sfirot is not something spiritual that is not connected to me. Rather, it articulates into my body. So our sages teach us that out there are 280 dinim, judgments. It's called par dinim, pei resh. What are these judgments? A judgment is the power of refraining, of stopping. This is din. Din is chesed is the motion of taking or giving, but din is don't come in. Now the thing is that all our chayut, all our life in the physical world, where does it come from? From the mom. The baby's in the womb. You know, there's many times I get the same question, why is Judaism go by the mom? Why not the father? There's many explanations to that. But the spiritual explanation why from the man, why from the mom, is because the mom is the ima. She's the one who gives life to the child. She's the one that in the spiritual level feeds and gives life to the child. Now if you look again in the Sfirot, the ima is bina. Em habanim smecha. All the life that we get, all the energy that we get, all the spiritual energy that we get comes from the Sfira of bina, which is called Ima, Ima Ila'a, the M. Now we see it in the physical level, the mom is the one who carries the baby, the mom is the one who feeds the baby, the mom is the one who nourishes the baby, she gives the chayut, the life. It's also in the spiritual level. Now what happens is, if I disconnect myself from this Ima Ila'a, from the Sfira of Bina, then what happens is, I disconnect myself from the source where I get all my life. And this is where I bring myself all the dinim. Din is judgment. So to kind of close the circle, if you're looking at it in the physical realm, what brings the disease is my nutrition. Of course, things around it, the environment, pollution, so forth. But the main thing is nutrition. The main problem and cause for diseases is nutrition. But in the spiritual realm, the way to easily see it is just, you know, if I'm not doing mitzvot, if I'm doing sins, I'm creating these gaps, these halal, these spaces in my vessels, in my spiritual vessels that neshama cannot dwell in. And what happens, the result is the separation from my source, from Bina, from Em. Now, how do I reverse it? Most of the sicknesses that we get is by me bringing myself on myself dinim. Dinim, these judgments. Now, what are these judgments? Almost anything that I do will bring a judgment on me. I lie, it brings a din on me. I steal, it brings a din on me, a judgment. I envy somebody, brings a din on me. I'm angry at somebody, brings a judgment on me. I bring on myself all these dinim. Now, what is this din? It's the separation from the source. So in essence, when a person, I know you have a question, but when a person is angry on somebody else, he brings on himself this din, this judgment. When I envy somebody, I look at somebody and I envy him because whatever, I bring on myself these judgments. And any negative thing that I do, it can be sins that are physical, like stealing and lying. But every little thing that I do, I bring on myself this judgment. And how do I fix it? We said that the judgments are 280, par, pei reish dinim. And the way to fix it is to connect to the ima. The ima represents by oh, by light. Light is aleph. So if you take the resh pei of the dinim and you add the aleph, you get rafa, refuah. So the refuah comes by me stopping the dinim, not bringing any dinim, by connecting myself to my source. So there's a story in the Gemara that there was one sage who was very, very sick, and his friend, another Tana, came to him and he told him in simple words, you want these yisurim? Because we know that yisurim are good, that they cleanse the nefesh. And he told him, I actually don't want these yisurim. And he only said one word in the Gemara. It says that he gave his hand and he picked him up. Yahivle veyukme. He gave him a hand and he picked him up. And that's it. And he cured him. And there's a great hint in it that these three words are the abbreviation of Yud Lamed Yud. Yahivle veyukme. Yud Lamed Yud is one of the 72 holy names of Hashem. And this is the name that brings refuah. And there's many different hints in many different places, and I'm going to tell you a great secret today, that if you pray on a Friday night, Arvit, and if you pray Kabbalat Shabbat, at the Mizmor David, it says, Hashem l'mabul yashav, v'yeshev Hashem l'olam. Just read the if you read in the pray, there's one pasuk that it says, that it's talking about that. If you look at the abbreviation, it's again the same Yud Lamed Yud. Yud Lamed Yud, if you look at the gematria, the numerical value of the word chole, sick, is 49. We know that Bina is 50. Shah Hamishim Shari Bina, 50 gates of Bina. Shah Hamishim. So when I disconnect myself from Bina, then I go down one level, 49 levels. So I'm now in the level of chole. If I bring myself up to the level to Bina, I connect myself, then I bring myself up to the level of 50 gates of Bina, Sharim Chamishim Shari Bina. If you look at this name of Hashem, Yud Lamed Yud, it's same gematria, 50. So we see in different places, why am I telling you the prayer of Arvit on Yom Shishi? Because it says that on that time, when you says Hashem Lamabul Yashav, Hashem, of course, it's Yud Kei Vav Kei, the first letter is Yud. Lamabul is Lamed, Yashav is Yud. When you say that Pasuk, our sages say, Kabbalah explains that Moshe Rabbeinu and all the tzaddikim, they come out, and whoever you think in that particular moment that his neshama is in the klipot, they go and help him to get him out of the klipot. So this is a great sod from Kabbalah, that if you just concentrate on this pasuk on Erev Shabbat, and you can see in many great tzaddikim that they if you look at them how they pray on that part, ooh, they meditate for 2-3 minutes.
No problem.
That's the Ken. That's also, that's corresponding to Moshe. But this is corresponding to Shabbat, because Shabbat is the Yom of the Refuah. That's why when we say the Mishe Berach on Shabbat, we say Shabbat Himilizok Urfuah Krova Lavo. Why? Because Shabbat, we don't ask for Refuah. If you look at the prayers in Shmona Esrei, we're not asking for Refuah. Shabbat is the day of Refuah. So what you're saying, this is the same abbreviation of Moshe, this has to do with Shabbat. This is already Olam Elyon, this is a total different thing. But the name of Hashem, Yud Lamed Yud, this is the name of Refuah, corresponding to Sfirat Abina, that when we, if I want to get to Refuah, I have to connect myself to the mother, to the spiritual mother. And the only way to connect myself to the spiritual mother is only by doing, following, observing the Torah and the mitzvot. So in the physical realm, when I'm looking at it, yeah, I have to, in the physical realm, do what I need to do. But in the spiritual realm, I have two aspects of it. A, is I have to make sure that I'm following the mitzvot. If I don't follow the mitzvot, I cannot come and complain to Hashem, why am I sick? It's almost like me giving, hitting my head at the wall and then complaining that I have a headache. The problem with our with the medicine in our generation is they don't have cures. They just have things that numb you down. Because if they would have cures in our generations, there wouldn't be people that are sick. Technically, you would think of it, there's so much advanced medicine, so much narcotics and medicine and cures, how come there's more sick people? Because medicine doesn't have an answer. It doesn't have a cure for diseases, it just shuts you down.
You take care of the symptoms.
Exactly.
They need sick people in the world. They need sick people in the world.
Yeah. Now the thing is that, for example, you have a headache. What do you do when you have a headache? A headache is a symptom that blood vessels, they're trying to, you know, the thing is, they're trying to go out. The thing is that our sages teach us something very, very basic. When we go out of the bathroom, we say a bracha, 45 words. And the end of the bracha signs by Rofe, Kol, Basar, Mafli, La'asot. Who's the doctor? Is Hashem. Who Rofe? He's the Rofe, Kol, Basar. Hashem is the cure for everything. And our sages teach us that what is the refuah? What is the pure? Is by letting all the psolet out. If I keep the psolet, I don't even know how you would translate psolet. Psolet is like the
waste.
The waste. Thank you.
Yeah.
The psolet is the waste because I put into my body food. Miraculously, the body knows to recognize what's good and what's bad. The good it keeps, the bad it does waste. Why am I thanking Hashem for Rofe Kol Basar, for curing everything, because he made all the waste go out. This is it, simple thing. So our sages teach us, you want to be healthy, you have to get all the psolet, all the waste out. If you keep the waste in, you'll never be cured. You're never going to be healthy. That's why I said before, all these dinim, we bring on ourselves. If I'm upset at somebody, then I'm carrying this anger in me, I'm not letting the waste out, I'm not letting the psolet out. So that. If I'm now envy at somebody, if I hold grudge at somebody, if I what I'm anything, I'm keeping this psolet, this waste in me. So the whole point of doing it is letting all the psolet out.
Yeah, so, can I comment on it?
You can comment, of course you can comment.
You're saying about people that are bad, they're angry, they're envying, and so forth and so forth.
I didn't call them bad.
No, I didn't say bad.
Okay.
It's a human trait. We're not God.
Okay.
So
you work. You work on yourself.
But
that's your avodah. That's your work. You need to do is to elevate yourself to a level that if I now say something, you don't get upset at me. You see that it came from Hashem. My neighbor has a nicer car than me, why should I get jealous at him? Because Hashem gives me my money and He gives him my money. So, that's exactly why you're here. Lahafoch et amidot, to transform them. Yeah. Leshaber is a lower level. Lahafoch is a higher level. This is called itkafia. Leshaber is itkafia. Lahafoch is ithapcha. That's the higher level. But your, Hashem, tababach, I don't know how you say it, he custom built in you jealousy and hate and anger. And, for you to reverse it. Itkafya and Itapcha, the Zohar is talking about two levels of serving Hashem. Itkafya, the Zohar calls it Kad Itkafya Sitra Acha. Sitra Acha is the other side of holiness. It's my opponent. And when I overpower my opponent, this is Itkafya. I have the urge to steal something, and I hold myself. This is Itkafya. I subdued my inclination. I have the urge to eat something that is not kosher. This beautiful cake is now calling me, and I'm about to eat it, and my mind overpowers my body. This is itkafya. I overdid my kava. And it can mean anything. It can be in food, it can be with stealing, lying, anything that I have a tava, I have a lust, I have a desire, I come to do it, then I hold myself. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes you feel like scratching the wall because it's so hard for you. When you do that, this is called itkafya. You subdued your inclination, your yetzer hara, your desire, your lust. Now what happens in that respect? If you look now at two people that fight with each other, two wrestlers, one is stronger, the other one falls. If you look at two wrestlers, now one wrestler is putting the other guy in headlock, then he has the upper hand, he's overpowered him. Then the other one will throw him on the ground, and they constantly fight. So we constantly fight. There's a nefesh behemit in our body and a nefesh elokit in our body, a godly soul and an animal soul. The animal soul wants to go and eat and sleep and enjoy life and all the pleasures of life and be upset and envy and curse and etc., etc. And the godly soul says, no, let's go to a Torah class. I don't want to now go to see a movie. Let's keep Shabbat now. Let's go to shul. Let's pray, etc. So they constantly fight with each other. So when you overpower your desire, your inclination, this is called itkafya. This is avodat Hashem. We were created for itkafya. And when a person has all day long, his entire life is backwards, forward, backwards, forward, lechkach nozarta. This is what you were created for. Now a higher level of godly servant, avodat Hashem, the Zohar calls it ithapcha. Ithapcha is to transform. Ithapcha chashocha lenahora, transforming the darkness into light, umeriru lemetiku, the bitterness into sweetness.
So an example
of that is that hitapcha is that, let's say a person had a very bad habit of stealing, and every place he would see something right away he would take it, had a sickness, whatever, that was his tava, to take something that doesn't belong to him. And then he decided to do tshuva, and that's it. And every time something will shine in his eye, he would come to take it and really, really hold himself. And he did it one time, two times, 10 times, 100 times. He was in the level of itapcha. One day he refined himself to such a level that something was right in front of him, no cameras, nobody seeing, he could just take it like that. And in his mind he's like, I'm never taking it. It's not the will of Hashem. It's a sin. It's not a good thing. It's not my thing. It's somebody else's. Why should I take it? It's disgusting him. He's already transforming the darkness into light. He's in a level that he doesn't fight an inclination. He killed the inclination. That's it. And no teava yoter. He doesn't have the teava. This is a very high level of avodah. Exactly. Exactly. Itkafya is tshuva tata. Keneged tshuva tata. Itapcha is tshuva ilah. Tshuva tata is a lower level tshuva, that you do it from fear. You're afraid of the sin. You're afraid of the consequences. You're afraid of the punishment. You're afraid what people will say. You're afraid to get arrested, so forth. You do it from fear. Tshuva ilah, high level tshuva, is that you do it from love. You do it because it's the right thing to do. You don't want to do it. You understand the consequences. But the reality is, I agree with you, we all have our inclinations. But we were created to break them, to overpower them. That if I have a bad trait of envy, I have to work on myself. And I have to educate myself by saying, okay, that person, Hashem, decided to give more money and they have a bigger house. So what? So I have a smaller house. Every midah and every din that I was talking about, these judgments, I just gave example of lying, you know, envying, angering. There's 280 of them. But you can just imagine in your mind all the negative things that are, you can call them traits, that one will do, that even ask a psychologist. Go to a psychologist and tell him, you know, I know a psychologist. Then once we were talking, and he said, and we were joking, he told me, when somebody comes to me with high blood pressure, I just tell him, don't go to work for 3 days. Just don't have pressure from your boss for 3 days. The blood pressure will go down. So the thing is that everything that we have, we can control.
But the thing that, what I'm saying is, when you are mad because someone upset you, because you give them that power to make you mad.
Doesn't matter what you give or what you didn't give. The point is that any negative trait that you feed, you have the power to block it, to stop it, and not give it power, or you have power to feed it. If you feed it, what you create is what I told you, is this separation from your source, from Bina. You create this halal, you put this din in you, you cut the lifeline. So a certain organ will get hurt. So I don't know what to tell you. There's not enough books telling that. I didn't even get to the level of researching. I actually want to write a book, which sin and which mitzvah correspond to which organ. Well, from many Kabbalah books and Zohar, and there are places. But the thing is that the reality is that when I, let's say now I get very upset. Somebody said something, I get upset. The reality is, why am I upset? Everything is from Hashem. Hashem sent that person to do whatever or to say whatever. Why should I get upset? It's all from Hashem. Now, if I right away, I don't let this upsetness attack, and I don't let it give it power, I don't let it enter me, I'm good, no worries, no blood pressure, no sicknesses. But if I do let it affect me, I start getting all hyped up, and what happens? I get upset, I go home with it, the whole day I'm upset, you know?
But I think that you're talking more of extreme to here or here. Most things in life are somewhere in the middle.
Even the things that are in the middle, you need to have anything that is negative, you, of course, you can look at it in the extreme and you can look at it in the middle, but anything negative, you don't want to enter it into your domain. Anything negative, why would you want to enter anything negative into your mind, spirit, and soul? And those negative things are those 280 judgments that a person can bring on himself that essentially will make him sick. If a person is 100% fearing Hashem, meaning believing in Hashem, no worries, no anger, no envy, no nothing, because everything is from Hashem. I don't have money, why should I be upset? That person has a bigger house, why should I be upset? Why should I envy? That person cursed me, why? If a person is 100% fearing Hashem, no worries. And that person, that's why Rambam says, Maimonides says, lo yavo lecholi, yamut b'seva tova, he's going to die in old age. Why? He doesn't take anything to heart. And this is a saying in the physical level, but in the spiritual level, yeah, any bad thing that you do, you take it to your, not to your heart, you take it to some organ, and the organ gets affected. So a person can be very, a lot under pressure at work, or be afraid that he's going to lose his job, suddenly, ugh, back pains, my back went on me. A person can be worried about parnassah, a person can be worried about something, sometimes you have a symptom. Your body comes out with a symptom. You go to the doctor, whoo, the doctor starts freaking out. I have a friend that not too long ago, the wife had a little symptom. They went to the doctor, whoo, the doctor scared them. He called me, don't ask, the doctor said this. He freaked them out. Freaked them out. Excuse me for my how I'm saying it. He made them sick just by what he told them. I told him, relax. Let him go, relax. Everything comes from Hashem. Go to a different doctor. Maybe the doctor was wrong. Why are you... Just by hearing... what if the other doctor would say, relax, let's check it, let's see what's going on here. That's already half the refuah.
Right.
The problem is that we bring on ourselves, when any negative thing we bring into our body, this is what would cause the disease in the spiritual level. Why? Because I separate myself from my source. If I bring any negative trait into me, it means that first of all, you know, in a very, what's called in a refined way, some sages consider this avodah zarah, idol worship, because they don't believe in Hashem. Why you get upset?
Yeah.